This is Leafs Nation Postgame with Gord Stellick and Todd Halushko. Brought to you by your local GTA Acura retailers. Visit yours today. The game is the meal. We're the after-dinner drinks. Pour yourself a cold one. Leafs Nation Postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Strollman keeping it in at the point. Near side for Namestnikov. Down into the corner for Filppula. Strollman to stab, and he scores!
Yes, that's all she wrote. We thought there'd be a lot more scoring. That was the lone goal, the 4:38 mark of the first period of power play goal by none other than Steven Stamkos. His 21st of the season, and that held up. And that was the extent of it, the sum of it all. The Tampa Bay Lightning 1-0 winners over the Toronto Maple Leafs. We welcome you to Leafs Nation Postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers, Gord Stellick, Todd Halushko. On Sportsnet 590, The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network. We'll hear from head coach Mike Babcock in a few minutes' time, from a number of the players involved in tonight's game as well. And, of course, we welcome your phone calls, 870-0590, star 590 on your cell phone network, 1-888-666-0590. And the father's trip, they didn't see a lot of goals, if they could have bragging rights about that. Different game than the 5-1 loss to the Florida Panthers, but the Leafs lose again, and they struggle to score again.
Yeah, it was the same old script. I mean, the one thing that they got back again was the hard-working game that they were looking for. You know, a 5-1 loss the previous night to come back and play against a tough Tampa Bay team and battle them to a 1-0 loss. And all things considered, the first period was one of their worst ones, and to come back and battle, I mean, that's showing again, that's character and heart, but it just seems to be getting old and stale, doesn't it, Gord? Like, I mean, we're talking about another loss, but the fact that our catchphrases are, oh, they worked hard, they did the right things, we just didn't score. I mean, it's tough, and we were talking about it off air. The second half of the season is going to be really difficult to not only to play, but to cover the games if this team can't score some goals.
Hey, score goals. Third game in what, the last four or five, they have not got their first shot on goal.
Yeah.
At 10 minutes.
10 minutes.
Before they get their first shot on goal.
This is what it is this year. I mean, and again, you know, we'll give them credit. I mean,
well, this isn't what it was for, like, this
at the beginning of the season.
We're back for the 10 games.
Sure.
Like the start of the season. That's what we're back the last 10.
Yes.
And then there were 30 in between where it was like,
entertaining hockey.
Yep. Yeah. You know, and so I run into a lot of Leaf fans now, and they believe in the future and said, I love the way they're playing. But you know what? That doesn't really, that's not really the case the bulk of the last 10 games.
No, but okay. But we're going to talk about tonight's game. The one thing that I will say tonight is, Vasilevskiy, I think, stole the game for Tampa. We'll give him credit where credit's due. Yes, the shots.
Well, Bernier kept them in the first.
Bernier played fantastic.
Leafs outshot 17-6 in the first. So I'll say Bernier kept them in. But you're right. Then the Leafs got some pressure on Vasilevskiy.
Well, listen, both goaltenders played fantastic tonight. This was a goal. If you're a fan of goaltenders, this was a game that you want to watch. If you're a fan of some skill set, there was some skill set in it. But ultimately, you want to see a couple more goals go in for Toronto. I mean, this isn't going to cut it for them. But they're playing hard. They're working hard. And we're going to hear the same thing in the press conference, I'm sure, from Mike Babcock saying we're doing the things the right way. It was a good bounce back game, which is like, what else is he supposed to say? It is what it is this year. These guys aren't going to make the playoffs. There's going to be a bunch of guys moving out of the organization and draft picks coming in. So, you know, to battle a team like Tampa Bay to 1-0, I guess you can say is a moral victory. But as a fan and for the Leaf fans, you just get tired of it. But listen, they talked about at the beginning of the year, there's going to be pain. It's patience. You've got to just believe in the process. And I guess that's all you can really go off of right now.
870-0590, star 590 on your cell phone network, 1-888-666-0590. Gord Stellick, Todd Halushko, Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. A 1-0 win for the Tampa Bay Lightning over the Toronto Maple Leafs. Kind of fun, the behind-the-scenes stuff, chatting with Tim McAuliffe, right?
Yeah.
He's here late, getting set for Tim and Sid.
Poked his head in
he
here.
He said Sid's getting a pedicure or something somewhere, and Tim is doing the grunt work, the hard work, getting set, but just chatting about the game. And as hard as they work, he goes, Yeah, I pity you. We don't pity us. We're looking forward to it. Looking forward to your calls. Looking forward to chatting Toronto Maple Leaf and NHL hockey. 30-29, the Leafs outshot the Tampa Bay Lightning. Nazem Kadri with 7 shots on goal. Morgan Riley with 5 shots on goal. What other things jump out?
Well, I was going to say, you just see frustration kick in on Morgan Riley at the very end. He had that breakaway chance to tie it up. And at the end of the game, when the whistle went down, they shot the puck down. And Morgan Riley went to, you know, there's 2 or 3 seconds after he went to grab it. You just clutching the stick, and he tried to, you know, he's trying to break it over his knees. Like, here's a kid that really cares. And that's the part that is tough, because everyone on the team cares. But here's a young guy that is growing as a player and is looking better every single game. But he would like to win some games right now. He'd like to feel that winning stuff again. And Morgan Riley, I mean, just to see that, to see at the end of the game, to see the way he reacted, to me, shows me that this guy is a true character guy that they're going to want long-term, because he's been playing some fantastic hockey. But they want to taste that victory again. And it's tough, because I don't know how many more victories are going to be in the second half of the season.
Matt Hunwick, 25 minutes, 27 seconds of ice time. It's not unusual that he leads the team in ice time. I think it's a little bit unusual for him to get to the 25-minute mark. But anyway, that's what they did. Frankie Corrado in. He just had, let me get it right here, he didn't have a ton of ice time either. 5 minutes, 39 seconds. So he was spotting him a little bit and playing guys like Hunwick and others as far as getting them in. 870-590, *590 on your cell phone network, 1-888-666-0590. That's where we find Jamie in Kitchener. Hey, Jamie.
Hey, Gord. There's not much to talk about the Leafs, because Babcock's doing a good job and they're doing as good as they can. So I just wanted to talk about a couple of pet peeves I have in hockey in general right now.
Okay.
And one of the most boring things in hockey I see right now is the scrum along the boards. And I think I got an idea. If somebody's holding the puck on the boards, and the ref holds up a certain hand or something, that gives the timekeeper a time to put in, he counts down from 3 seconds from when the ref puts up his hands. And if that same guy's still holding the puck at the end of it, the timekeeper says penalty, stops the play right there, it's dead. And the other thing is the slashing of the stick, because it leaves to too much discretion. Like, you're allowed to lift a guy's stick. And slashing the guy's stick, who's got the advantage? I guess maybe the guy who's got the better stick with the least amount of flex, but I don't think there should be a slash in the stick call. And that's about all I got to say. Thanks, Gordon.
Okay, I think there was 1 7-player scrum. Remember that? Kind of there.
Everyone was giggling about it,
too.
It was
pretty unusual. It was like a rugby scrum that way, so I...
The caller's saying he doesn't like the slashing on a stick?
He talked about a counting down, so about being a little quicker.
Sure,
and
the whistle.
And stuff against the boards. But, of course, nowadays, for a number of years, the talk is keep it moving, keep it moving,
yeah, the
keep
ref
it
would,
moving.
The ref would tell the players, let's go.
Yeah. And then the other one is he said about the slash. I don't know what – generally, if you knock it out of the other guy's
hand. He's saying it's
going
to be a penalty.
Yeah. So I guess if it's a mutual slash, the better stick wins, so to speak.
It's usually the guy that has the stronger grip on the stick that's going to win. But
Anyway, some ideas that way. That's what the season's going to come to.
That's what we're talking about now. Stick flexes, all right.
And Steven Stamkos, let me see, 21 minutes, 53 seconds. So he got a whole ice time. And I know we've talked about it was the only goal tonight. But you mentioned him and Alexander Ovechkin. They're the two best current players. That one-timer, and he had 2 of them. He won just before. It was on the first power play opportunity of the game for the Tampa Bay Lightning. Wired it home. Will he keep doing that for the Tampa Bay Lightning? Will he, heaven forbid, do that for the Toronto Maple Leafs? I guess it's an interesting 6 months or so, or whenever it may or may not get done. If it's the Tampa side, of course, he can do it earlier.
Well, he can, and I was talking with producer Matt Brown about this off ice. Or off air, I don't know why you would, unless you get the max deal that you can possibly get from Tampa Bay and you want to stay there, the deal will get done. But here's a kid who's 25 years old. It's uncharted territory for a superstar of this age to become an unrestricted free agent at 25 years of age and the caliber player that he is. So in my estimation, I don't know why you wouldn't hold out. You wouldn't just you know, of course, obviously...
Now that's come this far.
Well, yeah, exactly. And I mean, obviously, that Yzerman would like to trade him and get some assets if he thinks he's going to walk. But at the end of the day, Stamkos can say, listen, I'm just going to test the free... I'm going to test the market, see what happens. If it's something that I like, you know, we'll cross that bridge when we come to it. But it doesn't mean I'm not coming back to Tampa. So if I'm him right now, why do you have to sign anything right now? You don't. You've got all the control right now, and that very rarely happens in the National Hockey League. This doesn't happen. And for him to give up that right now, I don't know why he wouldn't. I'm sure his agent's giving the same advice. Listen, just hold on. Let's have some. Doesn't mean we're not coming back, but we don't have to sign anything right now. We don't have a gun at our head.
When that new CBA came out, now I know there's been a newer one because there was a subsequent lockout since then. But in 2005, when they'd flushed the whole season down the toilet, missed the year, and when I heard all the rules on that, and I think most people thought the same thing, said, "Wow, there's going to be so many unrestricted free agents in their prime, and Toronto's got to get one of them." You know, whether it's Rick Nash or, you know, threw other names out there that, yeah, you know, John Tavares, you know, just whatever,
yep,
that will become UFAs and will want to come here. And so this is the closest Leafs have got, even though they're not really close at all. It's just that it's, you know, continued through. I know in Brad Richards' case, it was Richards, sorry. And Nash signed on with Columbus. I mean, Nash re-upped there, but Brad Richards was about the big one year. Jay Bouwmeester, a big one another year. David Clarkson was as big as it got that year. That's why he had to fork out that kind of money. So they've really been few and far between. We have to get our Tip Top Tailor Player of the Game, brought to you by Tip Top Tailors, your menswear store. Got to pick a Leaf.
Yeah, really. There's a no-brainer again today. It seems to be the goaltenders have been doing extremely well the last little while. Jonathan Bernier comes in tonight, makes 29 saves on 30 shots. Listen, he was spectacular tonight. I'm sorry, 28 saves on 29 shots. I thought he played a fantastic game. He looked unbelievable. Talk about a guy that may garner some interest come trade deadline. If he's going to continue to play at this caliber of hockey, I mean, there may be a few suitors that are looking for him, and namely maybe a team in Montreal is seeing a guy like Jonathan Bernier and saying, "Listen, this guy can do it." But anyways, my tip-top player is Jonathan Bernier.
Okay, you mean like the trade deadline?
Yeah. Like, I mean, here's a guy that maybe they think this guy can, depending on what's going to happen with Carey Price. I mean, you know, Quebec native guy. I mean, who knows?
But then you got to sign Reimer,
which I don't think that they would. I don't think that would bother them. I think they would do that right now, and I think they would look at maybe a two-year
deal.
So
I love this. Out of giving Bernier,
yep,
Jonathan Bernier, the Tip Top Tailor Player of the Game Award.
We're going to trade him and we're going to sign Reimer.
Now, yeah. Pick up your suit in Montreal. This is the first. So, Matt Brown, when I'm looking at my BlackBerry or my iPhone, it's a note, okay? It's a nugget. This is the first time the Leafs have gone to the All-Star break alone or tied for the fewest points in the NHL since 1996-97. And that's when they just had unloaded Doug Gilmour and other guys of that ilk. So who did they? Yeah, they got going a bit. I'm trying to think who they drafted that
in
year.
In 97?
We'll check that out. Yeah, back then, because I'm trying to think what would have happened then. They hadn't traded the first-round pick away, I don't think. That wasn't the one. Oh, no, don't tell me that was Roberto Luongo going fourth overall. Is that the one? They had sixth overall. That was the Leaf pick. That's right. Yeah, it was. They traded to the New York Islanders for Wendell Clark. That was a Wendell Clark trade. So that first-round pick and Wendell Clark coming back from the Islanders. Because, Leafs, you got it, Matty, there? Did they have a first? I can say things all I want, Matt. Don't, like, lecture me in my ear here. I got my guide right over here. I can look for it 1 second. I'm trying to remember because that 96-97 season was Mike Murphy was coaching, and they just got rid of everybody. You know, they had Steve Stavro had the money shorts.
Yep.
He had turned down Wayne Gretzky, was supposed to be on that team.
I remember
the summer of 1996. Should have been the center. Okay, so year before that. Did they get a pick that year? I'm trying to think. So anyway, they had, it should have been Doug Gilmour, Matt Sundin, and Wayne Gretzky as your three centermen. Imagine that.
That wouldn't have been bad.
So had the money shorts, didn't get Gretzky. I've debated this with some people in ownership back then who say it's not entirely accurate, but it's accurate. And that just got rid of Dave Vanderchuk, got rid of Todd Gill, Mike Gartner, all for money reasons. And it soured guys like Doug Gilmour. And eventually he moved on to the New Jersey Devils as well. We'll come back. We'll get an update on that, a little Leaf history. We'll also hear from Mike Babcock, head coach of the Toronto Maple Leafs, and much more. A 1-0 win for the Tampa Bay Lightning over the Toronto Maple Leafs. You're listening to Leafs Nation Postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. Gord Stelick, Todd Alushko on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and the Leafs Radio Network.
Send us all your money. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher, and we'll send you a free subscription for Sportsnet 590, The Fan, on demand, absolutely free. It's your postgame workout. You're listening to Leafs Nation Postgame on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Stolen by Stamkos, centering pass, great save made by Bernier coming across as Nikita Nesterov was sent in there by Stamkos.
Well, I got that. Jonathan Bernier, who was the tip-top Taylor player of the game. That's one of his 28 saves he made tonight. Only one got by him. Tampa Bay Lightning 1-0 winners over the Toronto Maple Leafs. Gord Stelick, Todd Alushko, welcome you back to Leafs Nation Postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers here on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, Leafs Radio Network. So just to get clear, yes, 1997, when they came fourth last overall, that pick had been traded to the New York Islanders in the Wendell Clark trade. Wendell Clark coming back to Toronto. Kenny Onsen was the chief figure, went to the Islanders in that first round pick. Fourth overall was Roberto Longo, the Wongo. They also picked fifth overall, took Eric Brewer, who I take it the word ironically ended his career last year playing for the Toronto Maple Leafs, getting his 1,000th career NHL game. So that was what happened, and just trying to get the memory about the All-Star break way back then and comparing right now how it goes.
Yeah, so now we're looking at the future Leafs that are playing. I mean, Austin Matthews, you got the two Finns, Daniel Tkachuk. I mean, you know, the one thing about this draft, Gord, I know that it's the lottery draft and there's going to be...
It's a lottery draft for three spots instead of one, yeah.
Yep. For the three spots. The thing that's good, I got, what did you say to me, Maddie? Sorry? Oh, Daniel, I may have said Daniel Tkachuk. Matthew Tkachuk, of course. Daniel Tkachuk is coaching in the OHL, I believe, in Kitchener this year. But what I was saying is you've got these three, you know, the three picks that are going to be lottery picks. But what I'm trying to get out of my marbles, out of my mouth, is the fact that this is a really, really deep draft. So if you are down there and you don't get the first or second or third and you get into the fourth and fifth, it's still going to be such a nice draft. You're going to get some nice players. So it's not the end of the world that you don't get an Eichel or a McDavid this year, because there is a plethora of unbelievable players in this year's draft. So wherever you end up, I really don't think you're going to make a bad mistake getting a first-round pick. Obviously, Toronto would like that first one overall if they end up where they are currently right now.
Well, the worry always is, as we were talked about earlier, you see Alex Barkov signing a 6-year extension with the Florida Panthers, and then the guy picked right after him, Jonathan Drouin, a third overall, still trying to figure out if he can play in the NHL at a high level as well. So, you know, there is that kind of, that happens. Picking high doesn't guarantee it, but certainly should enhance your odds and the chance of getting that superstar player, which has really been lacking in Toronto for a long period of time. Matt Sundin fit the bill. Doug Gilmour, I mean, just different. But the Jonathan Toews type, the guy, the Ray Bourque type, the guy like that, the Nick Lidstrom type.
Well,
wow.
That's why this offseason is going to be so interesting. If it does end up, you know, can you imagine the buzz in this city if Toronto somehow did manage to win that draft lottery, get the first overall pick, and managed to land the whale in Steven Stamkos to come here, and all of a sudden your rebuilding process just speeds up, tenfold. I mean, it would be exciting, and it's an exciting time. I think that's the one thing that Leaf fans have to grasp onto, we can hope on. As long as Steven Stamkos is not signed by the Tampa Bay Lightning, there's so many different scenarios you can think about, and you can hope that he does come to Toronto, and then Toronto gets a big pick, and it speeds up the whole real rebuilding process, because there's a lot of people in Toronto don't want to see this rebuild last 5-6 years, but the reality of it is that is how long it's going to take.
No, it doesn't have to.
Yes,
it does
it
not
is.
Have to take. No,
it doesn't have to. But the reality of it is, it will.
It's already taken 12.
Yeah, but this is a new regime in here now.
It's same ownership, basically. I know. As I said yesterday, I know we're part of it. Rogers now. Mm-hmm. I know we weren't on it forever, but the last number of years. But anyway, we thinking big picture, let's think small picture.
Sure.
Even though Mike Babcock thinks big picture, let's hear what he has to say small picture after tonight's 1-0 loss to the Tampa Bay Lightning.
Well, I think just, we took three penalties there, and they scored on their first one, and I thought it unnerved us a little bit, and then we're just battling, trying to stay alive. I thought we stayed alive and had some good kills to end off the period, and I thought we played better at the end of the period, and then I actually thought we played pretty well from that point on, and, their goalie made saves, our goalie made saves, but, we've talked about it quite a bit here of late. We didn't feel we started as good as we should have. We felt we were prepared tonight coming into the game. We had good energy, and then took the penalty, and, a tough penalty right away, and he shot in the net, I don't know how many seconds later, and then we were a little bit unraveled.
The opportunity to score goals there, Mike, and you were at that point in December where they were going in. How do you get it back?
Yeah, well, that's a good question. If I knew the answer, we'd have it back, obviously. So we'll enjoy the break here, and we'll come back and get energized and get back at it. But, I thought we worked hard. I thought we competed hard. But in the end, you like to leave the building feeling good because you finished, and we didn't do that.
Result aside, I guess you have to feel pretty good about the way Jonathan played tonight.
Well, I thought Bernie played good. I thought our team played good. With the exception of the start there, I didn't like our first penalty kill. And then we didn't seem to have the confidence in the first. But I thought once we got through that, we did a pretty good job.
Scoring first is always so important in this league. Underscored in a 1-0 game, obviously. What do you do to try to just get those starts going?
Well, we've talked about it lots, and we'll continue to talk about it. I don't know if there's any magic formula. I don't think we're not energized or not focused or any of those things. It's just the reality is the way the game started with the penalty and then the goal. I thought we got, like I said, the unnerved. So let's move on. Well, I would assume that, but, I didn't think we played like a tight team in the second and third at all. I thought we had lots of plays. We made some plays. We had some chances. They didn't go in, but there's no sense feeling sorry for ourselves, no one else, but we got to find a way to get up.
Do you have a number in mind in terms of wins you're looking for in the second half of the season?
I just get ready for the first game just like I always do.
There he is, Mike Babcock. The worst thing is they're affecting Mike Babcock's press conferences. The play, and he thought the team played okay. What'd he say? He thought they played well. It's just when you get on that losing skid, you don't score any goals, and to have 13 shots on goal before you shot one.
Mm-hmm.
Like, wow.
Well, he talked about it. He said he wasn't happy with the start. Obviously, he wasn't happy with the first power, the penalty kill where they obviously scored. But as a coach too, though, what more can you? It's just repetitive. What can you say? We're not winning. Well, how do you get the scoring going? Well, I don't know. If I knew, we would have that fixed. It's just a lack of, it's hard to talk about too, because I don't know what else to say about it. I think that the fact that listen to me, I'm just battling for a word right now. The fact that they cannot find the back of the net is so frustrating, not only to them and to the fans, to Mike Babcock as well. Now he's searching for some answers right now. And his answer right now is, thank God that we have the All-Star break. We'll take a break. We'll get away from it. And hopefully we'll be able to regroup and come back.
Get re-energized.
Yeah. I mean,
I'd love to get re-energized.
It's
I'm looking forward to it.
It's a tough situation for this Leaf organization right now where they are. But again, I'll revert back to what he says. He says there's going to be pain. Well, this is the pain. Deal with it. And let's move on. And hopefully after the All-Star break, they're going to come back with some new revitalized energy. And maybe a couple kids from the Marlies are going to come up. Maybe that's what they need right now, to an influx of energy, getting some new bodies in here that's going to get guys. William Nylander comes back from his concussion. Connor Brown scoring some goals down there. Maybe these guys need to come up after the All-Star break and give these guys a little bit of an energy injection. Maybe that's what it needs right now. And because everything else doesn't seem to be working for this Leaf team right now.
So I just Googled grasping at straws, and there's your picture. Todd Alushko describing what the Maple Leafs have to do coming up.
Yeah, I was grasping.
The other part is, and it went on for a little while earlier, it was, nothing's acceptable, but it was easier to accept when Bernier wasn't good. You know what I mean? Because you kind of said, okay, goaltending.
They get pitted on somebody.
Okay, and now the goaltending's been great. Bernier was great again tonight. Vasilevsky. On the other side, Andrei Vasilevsky, have to give him some credit as well. So, you try to sift through Mike Babcock, who you know, talks about the team playing well and acknowledge a lot of what he says and then balance it with this is like last place. This is not a season that's going well when you're vying for last place overall.
And when teams are losing, you're looking at what happened in that game. Who can we pin it on somebody? And like you said, when Bernier wasn't playing well, it was easy to pin the losses on him. Oh, look at that. He let a goal in from the red line. He let another one in on the first shot of the game. So there was something to talk about. But they've corrected that. The goaltending has been corrected. The execution in the game has been getting better. Things have gotten better. But at the end of the day, they're still losing these games. So now it gets more frustrating because they are playing as well as they can, and they're still not being able to produce victories.
870-0590, *590 on your cell phone network, 1-888-666-0590. Of course, Delek Todolushko, Leafs Nation postgame. We've got Amir in Hamilton. Hey, Amir.
Hey, guys. Thank you for taking my call.
No problem.
I just want to say, like, I'm a diehard Leafs fan. I'm not complaining. Like, I understand the plan, but the games are really boring to watch, and I know it's, you know, 82 games and then watch other teams' playoffs, but I do enjoy watching the Leafs, so it is getting hard to watch. But moving forward, I hope, you know, we draft, like, maybe we get Matthews, Chychrun, or one of the two Finnish kids this year. But for next season, I'd rather that they play Marner, Nylander, Timoshov, whoever they draft this year. I'd rather watch those kids, even if we lose, rather watch them than guys like Boyes or Grabner or like Santorelli they got the year before. I don't want to watch like the one year contract. Those guys are just nothing. Like, yeah, we might trade them for a third pick or something, but I'd rather get them, unless the kid is like Marner, how he was this year, like way too small to play. I'd rather they just put the kids in and let Babcock coach them up and go through the pains with our core so we can see, okay, here's our core. Let's add to that moving forward. I think they're just kind of wasting time with all these one-year contracts, and it's really boring to watch. Even if they're losing, I'd rather watch the kids lose than this.
Okay, Amir, thanks very much.
Thank you.
Yeah, tough on Brad Boyes. He didn't dress the last two games. I get what Amir is saying. And also, Mitch Marner didn't really grow a lot. So if he was short last year, he's still going to be short. But so he's saying play those guys, play them with the big club, and learn that way. And fans will buy in and enjoy that happening more.
Well, there's two ways of looking at it. Right now, all those guys that he's talking about are down in the Marlies organization, and they're lighting up the American Hockey League in their first place. And this is the thing. I'm kind of on his side because I would love to see the guys up here. And I've always been an advocate of saying, why do they have to develop down in the American Hockey League? Let them develop in the best league in the national, like let them develop in the National Hockey League. But I understand, and proof is like the proof is in the pudding. It works by leaving the guys. And here comes my word, Gord, because I know you love it. Marinating in the American Hockey League. It works. It's been proven by Detroit. It's been proven by a lot of teams that the American Hockey League is a place to let these guys play 1 or 2 years. So that group of the core group of guys that got down in the Marlies right now are developing. And, you know, maybe they will be. Maybe there will be 3 or 4 guys up next year. But this year, specifically this year, it's the right thing to have those guys down in the American Hockey League. And I know I said earlier that I'd like to see some of those guys come up in the second half of the season. And I really would, because I want to see what they can bring to the table right now. But you cannot argue with what they've done with the prospects, keeping them down in the American Hockey League, that it has been the best thing for these guys right now. And I think you're going to see the development of these guys later on in the season and next year. And I really believe that by them staying down there and continuing to win at the American Hockey League level and now going into the playoffs with the Marlies when they do and they go for a long run, that winning attitude and that winning in the playoff, even though they're young guys, when they bring that up to the National Hockey League, that is what their understanding is, what they should be doing all the time, is we've got to win. I've learned to win down there. I'm not satisfied with losing up here. So I think, I know I'm rambling on, but I think it really pays dividends by keeping them down there and getting them in deep in the playoffs and understanding what it takes to win, even though it is at the American Hockey League level. It will translate to the National Hockey League at some point.
Well, you mentioned the marinating there and also Matt Brown says you got to put the proper seasoning on, and I say you got to have the right cut of beef for starters. Got to be the right cut earlier.
This is good.
So a combination of all those.
Add a little red wine, and we're all set.
A little Chateaubriand for two. We will come back. We don't have a Chateaubriand for two. We've got two hosts of Leafs Nation postgame. We'll come back. And what are we going to do, Matt? Which guest are you going to bring on first of the list you showed me? We'll be back. Gord Stellick, Todd Alushko. We'll hear from Dion Phaneuf and others after tonight's game. It was a 1-0 win for the Tampa Bay Lightning over the Toronto Maple Leafs. You're listening to Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. No medical exam or health questions will be asked. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Breaking down the game in a fanatic, obsessive, bordering on unhealthy manner. This is Leafs Nation Postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Whoa! Played up on the wing and Talat got nailed. Coming through, and there's going to be a penalty here. Frankie Corrado came down the right wing boards and just destroyed Andre Palat.
There we heard Frankie Corrado making a bit of an impression. He didn't get to play a ton. What'd he play? 5 minutes, 39 seconds, but physical. Drew a minor penalty on that play. Gord Stellick, Todd Alushko, welcome you back to Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. Tampa Bay Lightning, a 1-0 winner over the Toronto Maple Leafs. And, of course, love these 7 o'clock starts, so it gives us more time with you, yes, on Leafs Nation postgame to chat about the game and all the events going on around it after tonight.
You spoke about Frankie Corrado. I know he 5 minutes and 39 seconds, and we spoke about it earlier. But you know what? You got to like a kid like that that knows he's in and out of the lineup. He doesn't know when he's going to play again, and he wants to make a mark at some point. I know he ended up taking a penalty on that big hit. But you know what? He showed a little gumption in there, and he showed Mike Babcock, listen, I want to play. I care about playing. And, you know, you hope that earns him another start, even though it was a penalty. At least he's doing something out there with a limited amount of minutes that they're giving him.
Well, let's hear from a guy who got some more minutes, and that would be the Leaf captain, Dion Phaneuf, played 20 minutes, 46 seconds, had 3 shots on goal, getting a little physical for him as well sometimes throughout the game. Here he is after tonight's 1-0 loss.
There's no doubt we've got lots of chances, and the bottom line is we've got to find a way to bear down. You know, you look at, I had 2 point blank that give the goalie credit. He made a couple good saves, but, you know, I got to bear down on those chances in tight. But our team is, I thought that we responded really good in the second and third. Another slow start for our team that we've got to make a conscious effort to find a way to start better. But we did a real good job. I thought it showed a lot of character in the way that we played in the second and third, pushing and pushing and pushing, and give their goalie credit. He was real good, as was ours.
Yeah, and do you think that Elster break maybe comes as a good time, and a tough stretch here? You guys,
well, I think it's a good break for not only our team but every team. It's important to take the rest, make the most of it, and kind of refresh, and you come back to work on Monday. So it's not that long of a time, to be completely honest with you. You get a few days to, you know, to unwind and kind of recharge. But I think it's good for our team and every other team in the league.
How are you going to recharge?
I'll recharge.
Stay here or football?
No, I'll leave my plans to myself.
What can you say about Jonathan and what he did to give you guys a chance to compete and stay after a real tough start?
Well, I thought he kept us in the hockey game, not only throughout the game, but he made some really, really big saves that keep us in the game. Could have been 3-4-0. You know, there were some point blank chances that we gave up, and he was there. So it's a great game by him. I think it was, you know, I look at the start, and he's a difference in the game of why we have a chance to still be in it with the goalie pull.
Yeah, there he is, Dion Phaneuf, chatting about it. And certainly Andre Vasilevsky, the lesser known after Ben Bishop, very much a factor, to say the least, tonight. Oh. And you gave Jonathan Bernier the Tip Top Taylor Player of the Game Award for the Toronto Maple Leafs. But yeah, the two goaltenders would be vying as the first star of the game.
Yeah, John Cooper's got to be extremely happy giving Ben Bishop a day off and getting a performance from their backup like they did tonight. But that's what you always, as a coach in the National Hockey League, when you have your goaltenders that are your starters and your backups, that's exactly what you want a backup to do. Be ready to come in and give your team a chance to win while giving your starter a rest. And that's a perfect scenario leading into the All-Star break for the Tampa Bay Lightning today, and a well-deserved win by him. I thought he played fantastic. And again, on the flip side, Jonathan Bernier was money tonight. He looked fantastic. A tough one-timer off of Stamkos. But other than that, he shut the door. And it was a goaltending duo tonight. And unfortunately for the Leafs, the Lightning were able to get that one goal, and that proved to be a winner tonight.
Morgan Rielly, he remains a very pleasant surprise. Not surprise, but just his development. You forget that he came up as an underage, was a healthy scratch for a number of games, and missed so much action the one junior season with a significant leg injury. And definitely, when you're talking about the future, he is a guy that is very much in the forefront of that. 24 minutes, 59 seconds. He had one minor penalty, 5 shots on goal. Here he is after tonight's 1-0 loss, Morgan Rielly.
Well, it's tough. I mean, we're creating chances. The puck's just not going in. We hit 2 crossbars tonight. We're getting our looks. It's just not going in.
I know that you might not want to get into specifics, but after the slow start, what was Mike's message in the first interaction you
guys? I mean, you just got to get going, or else it's going to be a long night. I mean, you can't play like that the whole game, or else, you know, a team like that's going to make you pay. Obviously, it's not what we wanted to do, and I mean, it's been a problem lately, so we have to get to the bottom of that and try to take care of that. But, I mean, if you play like that for the whole game, it's going to be ugly. And, you know, we got things going eventually. But, again, when you start like that, you put yourself behind the 8-ball and makes it tough.
What can your goaltenders play to motivate a club, especially given the start he provided you guys in that opening period?
Bernie was outstanding. Rams was good the other night, too. But we got to play better in front of him. That's the bottom line. I mean, we can't win when we don't score. So.
All-Star break coming in. A good time to give you guys a chance to take a breath.
Yeah, we're going to relax a little bit, try to recharge a little bit, but we're going to come back ready to go, and you know, we're going to start winning some games and get right back after it.
There he is, Morgan Rielly, more and more becoming kind of the spokesman, a mature Morgan Rielly, talking about tonight's game, 1-0 loss against the Tampa Bay Lightning. Gord Stellick and Todd Alushko on Sportsnet 590, the Fan, Leafs Nation. Postgame brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. We have a special caller, is that right? Tim in Scarborough. How are you doing, Tim? Tim there? Is Tim doing this on purpose?
That was a special caller.
Yeah, it's supposed to be a special caller, but let's see if he can connect one more time, if his phone is working or not. Okay, we'll get them hooked up there. And coming up a little bit later on, we'll have the out-of-town scores for you. 3 other games going on around the National Hockey League. Who else are we hearing from?
You know what I was going to say? I did like listening to Morgan Rielly talking to him. We've talked about it in the past, the maturation of his play, his maturity level. It doesn't have to just be on the ice, what he's doing. Off the ice, he's taking the onus of talking to the media. This guy's maturing, and he's going to be a good one.
Okay, we have Tim in Scarborough back. Hey, Tim.
Hey, Gord, how you doing?
Good. How are you doing, Tim?
I'm doing fantastic. I got a question for you. You used to be the management type of guy, Gord.
That's correct.
And Todd played like he wanted to be in management.
Exactly.
So I got a question. If you could be, all things considered, if you could be part of the management in Montreal or the management in Toronto, and I'm talking about pressure on the team, I'm talking about pressure on the staff, which city would you choose?
Well, I'd choose Toronto. A lot of people thought when I was general manager of Toronto, I helped Montreal out more. But, that's a whole other story. That's our good friend Tim McAuliffe, of course, joining us.
What are you talking about? Tim from Scarborough.
So, Tim from Scarborough, what do you think Tim and Sid would do for an hour show, a game like this? because we got 2.5 hours.
We would talk about which potato chip we enjoyed the most. I think that would be it. No, right. it's tough sledding right now. But honestly, I was thinking about, like, wouldn't it be tougher to be in management in Montreal given the firestorm there right now than with, I mean, the expectations in Toronto have been lowered so much that there's not a lot of pressure on this team.
Oh, absolutely. So maybe I answered in reverse. I said I'd rather be in Toronto. There's no, like, you know, Todd and I have talked about it a number of times. I know you've got young children as well. And I just said it's like, because people are buying into it. I mean, and let's hope there's the payoff at the end. But it's like coming home and a C-minus report card is accepted by your parents because they believe you'll get an A in 2 years, that you're getting tutors and special teachers or something. So it's a weird animal this year. And credit the equity Mike Babcock has built through his career, and a little bit Lou Lamoriello, a little bit Brendan Shanahan, but it's unusual.
But Todd, like, can you think of a team where the coach can come after and say, listen, we just can't score goals, and that's okay?
I know. That's what I made a point of that earlier, that I can't, like, how are you supposed to respond to that when your coach says that? I mean, that's it's unbelievable that and it is, and everything's fine. We don't have to worry about it right now because it's kind of like it's like everyone's getting a mulligan for 1 year. That's just the way it is right now, and you just got to get, you know, you have to accept it. That's what it seems like. What's going on? Listen, this is what's happening. No one's coming in. There's going to be no reserves. Whatever we do this year, that's it, and just hopefully everyone can accept it. But it is tough to hear that, and there really isn't anything coming in right now, especially the second half.
Yeah, but we're so accepting of this plan that you kind of go, no. We were around when they were a very high, surprisingly scoring team, and a lot of guys got big contracts like Joffrey Leupel and Tyler Bozak. They got big contracts predicated on scoring. Nazem Kadri got a couple of hat tricks and got kissed by Don Cherry on national TV. I mean, James Van Riemsdyk's hurt, so understood. Phil Kessel's gone, but those guys all could score some goals, and some of them are still around. So I just find it, kind of weird that, and actually Leo Komarov had been scoring goals, but
But Komarov was like the Weiss, right?
Where
you knew he's scoring goals, but you know he's not like a 40-foot. He's the he's not scoring 35 goals on any good team, right? Like, he's a great talent, but he's not a guy that's going to score 35 on a good team.
Well, he wouldn't get the ice time, right? They'd be slotting him.
He'd be a great third liner.
Yeah, they'd slot him back where he's supposed to be. And unfortunately, with Toronto, he's got to be a top six forward right now because they don't have that depth.
Who was the Raptor player? Was it Garbajosa? He got hurt, right? Like, playing for his country. But I remember Jack Armstrong would say he did all the greasy things. And, you know, and they lost something when they lost. So, I mean, Leo Komarov's there to do some of the greasy things. So, like, they've got different elements that way. But they also have some guys that are expected to score. I mean, otherwise, why did you give them six-year contracts in Leupel's case at $5.25 million or whatever it may be? So,
they're also allowed to freelance a lot more under the previous regime than they are in the Babcock regime. And that's part of the culture change that I think the fans signed up for was, okay, we realized that freewheeling, running and gunning wasn't getting this team anywhere, so we'll sign up for the defensive side. But the one thing that I'll throw out there, and I don't mind Todd saying bring up one guy or two guys, but I'll disagree with Amir. The point of bringing up the kids and letting them play because it's more entertaining for the fans, and I completely understand it. I don't know if that's good long-term for your club. Look at Edmonton. Those kids got up there. They got their heads kicked in night after night after night, and you can't tell me that hasn't slowed their process in gaining respectability back in Edmonton.
Well, I go way back, as you know, and and Jim Benning is now a general manager. Bob McGill's a guy I work with on Leafs TV. And Freddie Boimstruck was out of hockey because they all got rushed as underage defensemen. And I saw, you know, a guy like Freddie, that ruined him, you know, because they're kids and they go up and you forget the mental and emotional toll that it can take on them. So I do applaud this. I agree with Todd in some sense, like whether it's Josh Levo now or you get some of the other guys up, that some of the more veteran guys to see what they can do, you know, playing there. But as far as the Nylanders and that, let them just stay, to use Todd's line, marinate, and, you know, go through the whole thing and come up whole, if that's the right word.
Yeah, leave them in the oven. Let them marinate. Let them come to the, you know, like, let them fully cook. Let them just soak in, get that confidence. I completely agree. And I think that does wonders. And we've seen it happen in Detroit. We've seen it happen with Duncan Keith in Chicago. Like, that's one of the best players in the league. And he spent, what, 2 years in the minors?
Yeah.
So let it happen.
It's the winning atmosphere you need to. Not only are they developing as players, but they're developing that winning attitude. And that's what I'm saying. Bringing one or two guys up to test them out. Like, there's no way they're going to bring William Nylander up for like 10, 11 games and lose a year.
They might bring Michael back.
But yeah, Michael could play.
Hey, with Callie Johansson, get him back again.
I'll tell you what, that guy had magic hands. But the whole thing is if you can bring a guy up and give him a taste of it and send him back down, just to give maybe to Emil's, the caller, Emil's problem is, Amir, I'm sorry, to his point, is to give maybe the fans a taste. And when I mean a taste, it's one or two games just to see what they can do and send them back. But at the end of the day, Tim, you're right, Gord's right. I think everyone's right that you let those guys just stay down and let them win. I mean, it would be great to see the Marlies go on and win a Calder Cup championship. We saw what it did in Detroit when Grand Rapids won one, and about four or five guys came up and are significant NHLers today.
Yeah, Carey Price won a Calder. There are things that I don't think people appreciate about that league, and half of it is confidence, and half of it is knowing that you can play at the level, and even excelling at the level gives you the confidence that you can excel at any level.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll throw another one at you, Tim and Todd, in that, like, just like the environment. So I chatted with somebody in the organization, a guy I like in the organization, and just talking about, this is 10 games ago, but liking the way it turned around, right? Just said, yeah, it was tough at the start, but everyone was focused on the Toronto Blue Jays. So, you know, yada, 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 and just the direction the team's going. And his line was, yeah, we never had one Leaf jersey thrown on the ice. And I am so perplexed that this has become, you know, like instead of the 19,500 other people that were treated to a team that treated it like daycare or a drop-in center, it was always about the one or two guys that threw jerseys on the sweater. It was sacrilegious. The security staff went after them like guys you wanted killing penalties for the Leafs. It's just strange. Like, you know, just that the audacity of someone actually throwing a jersey on the ice. Well, anyway, and so you gave more power and credit to the guy who could be a Montreal fan just doing it for the hell of it. I don't know. It's just a... Like I say, it's a funny environment right now. Very unusual, very different.
It is. I was walking by you guys to let the people. I was walking by you guys before I left the workplace, and I just wanted to say, long time listener, first time caller. I appreciate you guys, and you accompanied me for my ride home yesterday and again tonight.
Well, I appreciate it. That's why we like hitting the airwaves 2.5 hours for a 1-0 loss like tonight, Tim. It's for people like you.
Appreciate it, boys.
Okay. Thanks, buddy.
Tim and Scarborough. Tim McAuliffe joining us. So we got to take one more break, come back. We got Darren Millard some point. Maybe we'll do Millard top of the hour. We'll figure it out. We'll get it all sorted out.
Maybe Sid's going to call in now. Wouldn't that be nice?
I don't know. That would be good. Anyway, it was nice chatting. Tim, it's funny. Go back to... And we own it now, Rogers, but it was called Headline Sports. Then it became The Score, and did a show for a while called Ice Surfing. Mm-hmm. Myself, Steve Coolius, and either Rick Vive or Steve Ludzik. So, and then Tim would be like 2 yards away court surfing. So he would do the basketball thing. So we would just chat like off air. People thought we were in different rooms because you know the way it works.
Sure.
The magic of the camera. It looks like you're, but we're really like about 5 yards away. And it was a great concept. It just all night long, you get going to one desk or the other to talk about the action on the fly and all that stuff. So here we are all these years later. He's a big star, and he joins us on our little show. Thanks very much, Tim McAuliffe. We'll be back. More Leafs Nation postgame brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. Gord Stellick, big star Todd Hluschko as well here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
This ain't like when you're at a game and sign up for a credit card just to get the prize and then you immediately cancel the credit card. Because there's no prize when you sign up for our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Talk about tonight's game until you're blue in the face. Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Enough. has the angle on him, but Brown comes out with the puck, a backhand shot, stops, rebound in front of the goal. Bernier somehow comes across, paddled down to make the save.
That was the story tonight. Excellent goaltending on both sides. Jonathan Bernier for the Toronto Maple Leafs, Andre Vasilevsky for the Tampa Bay Lightning, but it's the Tampa Bay Lightning 1-0 winners over the Toronto Maple Leafs tonight. We welcome you back to Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers, Gord Stellick, Todd Alusco on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network. Looking to connect with Darren Millard for a few minutes time. Should have him in about a minute, Todd.
I was going to say something. I remember when Tim called in here, we were briefly discussing Montreal real quick, and I remembered something that you were telling me while we were watching the game tonight about what we thought was wrong. I know it's, we're talking about Toronto, but I'd like to throw Montreal in there real quick. What's wrong? And you said something that really clicked in, and I thought it was really an interesting point. Everyone's like, what's wrong? Is it Carey Price? Like, you know, obviously it's Carey Price. They need a guy. But you said it seems like the team in Montreal is looking or waiting for some sort of change, whether it's a coach or whether it's a new player, that they need something that's just going to be a change in that dressing room. And I thought about it more, and I thought you were bang on about that. And I don't know if it needs to be a coach, but I think there has to be a change and maybe something really quick as soon as after the All-Star break. And I think that's what that team needs. Whatever it is, they need some sort of change. It doesn't matter what it is to have a different dynamic in that dressing room.
Well, I've seen it where, I don't think the players are saying screw you either, whatever. It's just that, you know what, uncle, got to be done. Like, just is. And I even half wonder if Michel Therrien saying that himself. I mean, that's what I see. And I saw it with a Toronto Maple Leaf team, for example, with John Brophy. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm not in the dressing room like that anymore.
But
obviously,
you can feel it. You can see it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Too.
And just, and I mean, that's what I feel there. I absolutely do. And so it's a weird one because Mark Bergevin, who in his brief period of time has, just developed some credibility about speaking the truth or not speaking, and doesn't tell, the PK Subban was a great example. He certainly kept things close to the vest. So he has this unscheduled damage control press conference. And then he gets pushed on about, because, I don't know, people love to hear definitive statements.
Sure.
So said, okay, you're giving Therrien the vote of confidence, which is usually the kiss of death.
Mm-hmm.
And so someone then, pursues it and just said, are you saying the coaches will be here for the end of the season, till the end of the season? And Bergevin said in no uncertain terms,
yes.
Hey, he's able to come back sometime and say, I didn't expect it would continue like this. And, I'm doing it for humanitarian reasons, really, in so many ways. But that is, sometimes it just gets there and you don't know how it got there, why it got there. But no reason. And sometimes people do figure it out.
Sure.
They say, okay, we can get back on track. But this one, it just seems like kind of what happened in Columbus early in the year, that it just got too far.
And it also depends what their short-term and their long-term thinking is, because I've been part of organizations and teams where I have been on the side of it where we've just been losing, nothing's going well, and there has to be a change. And they bring in a quick fix. And for 2 weeks, 3 weeks, it's great. But then all of a sudden it reverts back to exactly what it was with that old coach. And then you realize that it's not just a coach. It's within the locker room. It's within the players that need to be changed around. So they've really got to figure out what they want to do before they make drastic moves. But I think in Montreal, it may just be a quick little trade to get a different person. You know what would be awesome in there, who I think would be an unbelievable player? I think that one of the reasons why I think they've had
in
Montreal, I think getting rid of Brandon Prust was a big mistake.
Yeah.
I think it was a huge mistake. I think that he was a heart and soul guy, a vocal guy in the locker room. And I know the Cassian thing blew up in their face as well. But I think Press was a huge piece, the same way Sean Thornton is with the Florida Panthers right now. Maybe not as a significant player anymore, but he's still glue in that dressing room. Guys respect him. And I think Brandon Prust brought that to Montreal. And the fact that he's gone, I'm not saying he would have solved everything, but I think that was one of the big mistakes they made by letting him go.
Well, I'm not going to give the guy's name out. He probably wouldn't mind me, I don't think. But one of our, top inside guys here at Sportsnet 5, or Sportsnet TV Network, he's on The Fan quite a bit as well.
Yep.
But said last June, there were some transgressions, alleged, I don't want to use the word alleged, but something was off with the Montreal Canadiens and Brandon Prust.
Sure.
And P.A. Parenteau.
Okay.
And they'll be gone by the end of the week. And by the end of the week, P.A. Parenteau was bought out and Brandon Prust was traded.
Sure.
So I don't know what this may or may not be, but that helped precipitate the deal, apparently.
Yeah, there's a lot of information we don't know. And I guess it's just by from an outsider looking in and trying to get a perception. Yeah, things may have happened. But, you know, so that's one type of player. But maybe they could go find someone of that ilk and bring them back into that organization. I don't know.
Well, we are going to hear from Eric Erlandson after the top of the hour. Also going to hear from Terry Koshin next hour. But let's hear from Leaf goaltender Jonathan Bernier. 29 shots. He made 28 saves. You heard a lot of them in the highlight reel. I mean, both goaltenders played that excellent. Here he is post-game. Another non-victory for both him and James Reimer. They've been playing well. They can't get the Ws. Here's Jonathan Bernier.
Regardless of the result, you had to be very pleased with the way you played and the groove and right from the start.
Yeah. Personally, I think I, play well. I think on the first, on my goal, I was a little too aggressive on the D there, and I wasn't able to get there on Stammer.
You've seen tape, you know it's coming, but I mean, he's one of the premier players in the world, I guess. Stopping it's an entirely different matter at times, isn't it?
Yeah, he missed a little bit of shot and it fooled me, and I think as a group, we know we got to be better right off the bat, but tonight was a little bit different. We got into the box too many times in the first, and after that, I thought the second and third, we played really well.
The shots were, I think, 13-0 and 17-1. I mean, from your perspective, when you're going through that, how are you feeling physically? How are you feeling mentally?
Just got to, I'm just here to do my job, and it doesn't matter what's the score. I got to give a chance to my team to stay in the game. And, I thought, like I said, we battled really hard in the second and third, and we just couldn't put it in.
Did you feel good going into the break about yourself, Jonathan, tonight? What happened after being off for a couple of weeks?
Yeah, I mean, if I look since I came back from the AHL, I think, it's been good so far. And, obviously you want to get more wins, but that's you can't control that.
Margin of error is slim. I mean, two of your last three starts, the club's been shut out four times for you this year. I can't worry about that, I guess.
No, that's like I mentioned, I think before the game, it's I just got to do my job, and I can't worry the way we play or the way if we can't score. But, at the end of the day, I thought we gave a really good effort, and personally, I think we deserve better. The other goalie made some good saves in the third, and the puck wouldn't go in.
It really did feel like an old-fashioned goalie duel, didn't it?
Yeah. I guess I had the first, but I think he played really well in the third.
Jonathan Bernier. It's in. You forget he was with the Toronto Marlies. He had four starts, three really good, one not so good, and I think really he's only had one clunker since he came back. What a tale of a unusual season off the ice and on the ice for one Jonathan Bernier.
It's interesting. I'm not a goalie, and I've never been a goalie coach or anything like that, but what I do understand about goalies, it's a mental part. It's mental. All these guys have the physical tools, or else they wouldn't be in the National Hockey League, and sometimes it's just between the ears, and they have to go somewhere and figure it out and get it, fix a few problems, and he seemed to have done that. I mean, who knows what could have happened had he gone down there and came back up, and it just didn't work. He may have found himself out of work permanently, but to his credit, he got his game back, and he's been a nice little surprise again, considering the start that he had. So, Jonathan Bernier has been doing all the things correct since he's been back, and the same with James Reimer. So the one thing we can say, it was a goaltending problem earlier in the year. That doesn't seem to be the problem now.
Well, and it's going to be interesting, and you chatted whether, say, a team like Montreal might have interest in Bernier. I really can't see anybody, goaltenders, moving the trade deadline. I still don't see it, but you bring up the one possibility if Carey Price is out for a prolonged period of time, not that it might be Bernier, maybe, maybe not. And then in the offseason, I know talking Calgary earlier, they seem to think that James Reimer is a guy that could have some interest from the Flames. So,
yeah, they fit the bill there.
He's upped his market value here in Toronto. Next hour, Terry Koshin will join us from the Toronto Sun. Eric Erlandson get the Tampa Bay perspective, and also not an active out-of-town score night, but we'll tell you what's going on in the NHL out-of-town scoreboard. Leafs lose 1-0 to the Tampa Bay Lightning tonight. You're listening to Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. Gord Stellick, Todd Alushko on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Do not settle. Demand. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. The game is the meal. We're the after-dinner drinks. Pour yourself a cold one. Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Strollman keeping it in at the point. Near side for Namestnikov. Down into the corner for Filppula. Back to the point to Strollman. To Stamkos, the shot, he scores!
That was the one and only goal in tonight's game. A 1-0 win for the Tampa Bay Lightning over the Toronto Maple Leafs. The Florida trip, El Busto. All the fathers in attendance. Gord Selleck, Todd Alushko, welcome you back to Leafs Nation postgame. Brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers on Sportsnet 590. The Fan, Darren Millard's going to join us in a few minutes' time. Eric Erlandson and Terry Koshin. So a busy hour out there, Todd.
It's good. I'm looking forward to talking to Darren. He's always, as I am with Terry as well, they're great guys to talk to. But it's going to be an interesting conversation because a lot of interesting questions of what's going on with this organization and what they're going to do after the All-Star break. So it'll be interesting to get the insight from those guys.
Darren Millard, Darren from Markham, joining us now. Gord Selleck, Todd Alushko. And, of course, did great work tonight with Sportsnet with the game. And, yeah, these games aren't as much fun, are they, right now, compared to a few weeks ago when people were excited about some success, actually pretty good success for a while, and a team that seemed committed and successful, the two-way style of play.
Well, I think that you can take some positives from this game compared to what you saw out of Columbus and then and the Carolina game. I thought they bounced back. I'm sure you could say that they didn't get the shots on goal again in the first 10 minutes, which is just bizarre that it's happened three straight games. But they had some really good chances tonight. Their penalty kill kept them in the game. Their goaltender, who's had an up-and-down year as you can have for a veteran goaltender, stood tall and only allowed the one goal, which was, sure, the second shot of the game, but it was off a second straight one-timer from Steven Stamkos. So I think that when you look at the slump that they've had, that there's some real bright spots, some positives for the Toronto Maple Leafs in this game compared to some of the previous losses.
Darren, it's the third game in a row for the Leafs without getting a shot on goal in the first 10 minutes of the game. Like, how can they rectify this? We see the backup, Valeski, is in goal tonight, and you're thinking, you know, they get a break because Ben Bishop's getting a rest. You think the one thing you want to do is you want to pepper as many shots as you can at this guy early and often. And it just didn't happen tonight. And again, third game in a row without it. Like, I mean, what can they do to correct this?
Well, I think the previous two games, absolutely inexcusable. Tonight, I think there's a real legitimate reason for it. And that's because they took penalties in the first 10 minutes of the game. And the Tampa Bay Lightning were on the power play and were able to establish an incredible amount of momentum on those power plays. And we're all over the Toronto Maple Leafs. So even when they were even strength in the first 11 minutes, they didn't have the puck, and they were chasing themselves, and there was no flow for the Toronto Maple Leafs offensively because the penalty killers were getting all of the ice time. So I think tonight, if you do look at it on a game by game basis, you can see that there was a reason why tonight that occurred compared to the previous two.
Go ahead.
How did Kippy cut his head?
Do you want to know the real reason?
Well, yeah, because you guys alluded to Kippy cutting his head and then Ivanka wrecking her dress. I forget what else happened.
Pen on her dress, yeah.
She wrote on her dress. Okay, so I'm about to go on the air with Tim and Sid. We do 5 minutes with Millard, which allows us to seamlessly transfer the two shows, go from one to the other, and it's a fun segment. I like chatting with those guys. Those guys are tons of fun to chat with. But I say, right before I go on, it's like, can I get a bottle of water? And Nick jumps out because he's got to have the GPA sport water, right?
Yeah.
He wants that. So he jumps up, runs to the wardrobe room, and you guys know there's that big mirror right beside Nick's section.
Yeah.
He hides bottles of water underneath this mirror that's slanted up against the wall. So he bends down to try and grab this bottle of water that's tucked in behind the mirror. And it's a really solid mirror with some sharp edges. And whacks his head against the mirror, comes out of the wardrobe room with his head tilted to the side to Hillary and Deborah, makeup and our stylist, and says, "I'm in trouble here." and he's bleeding down the side of his head. Now, I'm still on with Tim and Sid at this point. So he comes back on the set, and he's got this towel with him, and I'm doing the Q&A with Tim and Sid, and I'm starting to get ticked off because, like, why is he whispering to the other guys? I'm trying to do a show here and focus and then be ready for when we transfer over. So we go, we do the handoff with the two guys. Nick and I walk over to where, as I'm doing a couple of voiceovers, walk over to where we're going to open the show, and he's still got this towel. So, and he's like, I cut myself. And look, and he's got this bandage all over his head, and it's a deep gash. We debated whether or not we should send him for stitches in the middle of the broadcast or not, because it's that big of a gash. But I've never been through that before, and it's a great story for the book that I will eventually write.
So what, did you glue him up? Like, what did you end up doing? Get butterflies on, or what do you do?
He got Hillary and Deborah to put a Band-Aid on the side of his head, and he got through the night. Glenn Healy's head may fall off because he was shaking it for 3.5 hours watching what we were doing on the national broadcast. I've never had a guy bleed like that. Like, he's walking around with his towel after trying to stop the bleeding. It's bizarre. It's like, that may be another concussion. I don't know.
Well, I had to ask you because I heard your reference to it on TV
now,
a little
he
bit.
He said the mirror fell on him. Now, you guys are going to be in that studio tomorrow, right?
Yeah.
Take a look in the mirror. And you, now, if a mirror is going to fall on you, the first thing you do is grab it, right?
Sure.
Because you want to stop it from falling on you. Now, one thing about mirrors is the fingerprints show up pretty good on them. I looked at that mirror and could not find any fingerprints on there. And I know if he's bleeding, he's not going to have time to wipe the mirror down. So you guys go look at the mirror tomorrow and tell me whether I missed something or not, because I think there may be another story to this beyond just the mirror falling on him.
Well, dust footprints.
And mirrors usually break when they fall.
So a little Criminal Minds to go with some of your sports analogy. We'll check that out. I want to, you and the panel tonight, or the various people, Glenn Healy, Doug McLean, Nick Kyrgios, the Steven Stamkos story, the offer that came out, Elliot later said he wasn't sure of the term, but $8.5 million per season.
Yeah.
Any change in your thinking of whether he stays in Tampa Bay or goes somewhere else, possibly Toronto?
Glenn's of the belief that he'll sign back with the Tampa Bay Lightning. Nick and Doug firmly believe that at some point over the next probably 10 days, you're going to see Steve Yzerman approach the Stamkos camp and say, can you give me some teams that you would waive your no movement clause for? The Doug McLean opinion and the Nick Kyrgios opinion is that Stamkos is going to say, no, I'm not going to give you a team. And they'll move on from there, and he'll finish the season with the Tampa Bay Lightning.
Darren, I know you guys have talked about it to death, but I'd like to get your opinion, because this is mine. He's a 25-year-old kid. He's a UFA. It's unprecedented to have a guy of this stature and this skill level of a star to be a UFA at this young age. Why would you not exercise your right to go and see what is out there? I mean, if Tampa Bay goes and just gives you the max and whatever, and you're not getting any more money, and he loves to be there, that's a different story, then he's going to sign there. But if you're that kid, and even you'd imagine that the NHLPA would love to see him go to free agency just to test the waters to see what it's all about, wouldn't, if you're his agent, wouldn't you want to see that? Because you reserve the right. The players never have this type of power. He's got it now. So if I'm him, I'm going to go and test the waters. It doesn't mean I'm not going to come back to Tampa Bay. And I understand that Steve Yzerman wants to get some draft picks if it's not going to happen. And that's essentially what I think will happen. They'll trade him if they can't sign him. But if you're Steven Stamkos in your camp, don't you just want to test it out to see what it's all about?
Yeah, that's certainly the prevailing opinion, to try and see exactly what you can draw on free agency. Now, Todd, you know as well as I do that they've ran all the numbers with the teams that he would be looking for.
Oh, yeah, of course. There's
right
only
now.
Limited guys and, that can get him.
And there's on those teams, would the potential, with the money that he's thinking about attracting, would those teams be able to fit that under the salary cap. So if that's not not necessarily a possibility with one of those teams, and I don't think he has any interest in being a rental at the deadline. I think he weighs it about what the potential is with a handful of teams, if that, with $10+ million in the free agent market per season, compared to 8.5. And I don't think that's the Lightning's final offer. I think you'll see the Lightning come up to 9.5. And I think that could get a deal done. And then you balance the state tax and those kinds of just minor details that can offset signing a deal in New York State compared to Florida over the term of the deal. But I think they've already ran the numbers, and then they'll decide whether or not there's enough teams that are going to get in on this. Enough teams that, one, can pay him the proper salary, and the teams that he'd be willing to play for.
I can't take credit for this, but Matt Brown brought it up, and he actually told me, and he said this. I thought this was a good idea, too. Do you think that they would ever, the Stamkos camp and even Tampa Bay would say, okay, we'll just sign you to a 2-year or 3-year deal at your $8.5, $9 million. And then if we go on and we win a couple Stanley Cups with Steven Stamkos and next contract comes around, you guys really have to be prepared to pay long-term. And I'm going to be looking for $15 million or so.
You did a really smart thing there, Todd. And I give you all the credit in the world is that, that you announced before you said that.
Said it was Matt's idea?
That it wasn't your idea, because that is the most ridiculous thought process from Steven Stamkos' point of view that I've heard throughout this negotiation, that he wouldn't take an 8-year deal to try and get this deal done, that he'd go short-term when he's at unrestricted free agency. So Todd, you're not green in this business. You're coming along, and that shows... So it's a real veteran move by you.
Yeah, no, I understand that, but it's just thought for conversation.
No, absolutely. No. I think you were brilliant there. That nobody, like, that was the wrong time to be stealing somebody's idea and trying to take credit for it. You stood tall there.
All right. Matt appreciates me throwing him under the bus like that, so it's great.
No, I threw him under the bus.
I
don't want you taking credit for that. That's all me.
Well, just a little bit, still some sports news. Darren Millard heads home. We're seeing David Amber, Richie Sutter, Scott Morrison covering the National Calgary game. And, I am going to bring up the Ovechkin thing. So just Elliot Friedman tweeting. So you're going to be at the NHL All-Star game, right?
Yes.
So apparently Alexander Ovechkin now, the Washington Capitals, feel strongly he needs rest. He's not going to go, and they're going to accept the one game.
He pulled out?
Yeah, and they're going to accept the one game suspension after they feel that strongly he needs rest.
Really?
Yes.
That's unbelievable that they would do this the night before.
I know.
The players are to start arriving. Sidney Crosby did it a year ago. I'm a big Ovi fan, and if anybody could do this and has paid such, he's bought in to all the All-Star games that he's gone to. And I acknowledge that and hail him for it. But if this is going to happen, it has to happen last week. That's unfair, and it's wrong that you do that.
Yeah, no, I just, it's interesting. That's been, I think, one of the challenges. David Stern was really good at making the stars go in basketball.
Hey, I don't think if you don't want to go, you can find a way not to go. And Sidney's a great example of it. He's played in one of them. He's been to two because he went in and held a press conference in Montreal. But if you don't want to go, you're on the fence, that has to happen beyond the night before the players are to arrive. That's just not right.
Yeah, well, sorry to bring it up to you. I know still that you're looking looking forward to the weekend of coverage.
I may not go.
So how do you think the 3-on-3 is going to play out?
I think there's going to be a lot. It's not going to be as fast as what you see in overtime because, it's 10-minute periods. And there's two of them. So I think you're going to see a lot of sitting back and passing the puck, like those 80-foot passes back to your own goalie or your own defenseman. I think it'll be a much slower pace than normal. But I think it's still well worth the gamble. And I can't wait to watch 3-on-3, but also see John Scott out there. There's a real NASCAR feel for me. They, you just you're just watching to see what kind of chaos there might be out there.
Yeah, well, looking forward to that. Of course, you'll be covering it all weekend for Sportsnet, so looking forward to that. Thanks for making time tonight, Darren, as always.
You know what? You guys are the best. The show is in your hands tomorrow, and I look forward to hearing a great show on the podcast.
Okay, thanks very much. We'll be on filling in for Hockey Central at noon tomorrow. Gord Stellick, Todd Alushko, and, of course, Eric Erlandson, frequent guest on shows like that, shows like this, joining us from Tampa. How you doing, Eric?
I am good, gentlemen. How are you tonight?
Good. Just, you know, Darren Millard is heading to the All-Star game, so disappointed the late-breaking Alexander Ovechkin news that the Capitals feel strong and he needs some rest. He's going to skip it. He's going to take the one-game suspension. I don't know what your thoughts are on All-Star games, whether you're going, whether you like this format, whether you like the weekend. Where are you on that?
Well, you know, if you're chosen to go, I think you need to be there. You know, we've certainly seen this from, you know, Sidney Crosby in the last couple of years. And, you know, it's for the fans. It's a showcase for the fans. And let's face it, those games are not taxing. You know, it's not putting any extra stuff on their body. Are they sitting on the beach sipping margaritas? By no means, no. But, you know, and this three-on-three, it's, like Darren was just saying, it's not going to be this fast-paced stuff that we've seen at times in overtime. It's going to be a controlled sort of game. And that, to me, I don't think that means it's going to be too taxing on the players. So if you're selected to go, you should be there.
Do you think this is an Alex Ovechkin call that says, I just don't want to go, and then the cap says, okay, we're going to back in. We'll come up with a reason why you shouldn't go. We're just going to, and we'll take that one game suspension. Or do you think this is actually the Capitals saying, listen, we're contenders to win the Stanley Cup this year, and we want to give you as much chance to rest as possible. So leave it with us, head out to Florida, do whatever you got to do, but come back rested, and we'll take the heat on this.
You know, without knowing the background of exactly how it all came down, I don't know which side it went on. But you know that no matter what it is, the Caps have full support of whatever went on. You know, they were behind it 100%. So, you know, and I can see that point. I can see the team's point. But at the end of the day, this is a showcase for the league. This is a showcase for the fans. It's a showcase for the sponsors. Everybody who's supposed to be there should be there.
What'd you think of the game tonight? It looked like it was going to be a lot higher scoring when Stamkos scored so early, but it wasn't. Two pretty good goaltenders tonight.
Yeah, you know, it was a shooting gallery early on, and it looked like it was going to be a blowout. And you figured if Tampa could have gotten, you know, another goal or two, it might have ended up that way. But, you know, Jonathan Bernier, I thought, was excellent. He really kept the Leafs in the game early on as Tampa was just peppering them left and right. And he gave us a chance to team. And a credit to the Leafs who played last night. You know, they came back, and honestly, they deserved a better fate. They should have at least tied that game and got it to overtime. But, you know, when both goalies are playing well, sometimes it only takes one to get by one to end the game in regulation.
Eric, I was going to say, you know, how big of a lift is this for the Tampa Bay Lightning when John Cooper gives Ben Bishop the day off and Vasilevskiy goes in there and pitches a shutout? I mean, that's exactly what you want a reliable backup to do, is give your starter a rest and come in and throw a performance like that. It's almost like a bonus 2 points getting a win like that tonight.
Absolutely. And they've talked a lot about, with Vasilevskiy, who's only 21. And by the way, I don't know if it got out there, but his parents were over from Russia. And they got a chance to see him play live for the first time tonight. So
nice.
It's a nice little perk for Andre. You know, they've talked a lot about keeping him in rhythm as a 21-year-old goaltender who basically is really still a prospect. He's got, you know, a couple dozen games under his belt at the NHL level, but he's admitted that he needs to play more. He feels better when he plays more. He feels more comfortable, and he wasn't getting that a whole lot. He was injured at the beginning of the year. He missed all the training camp. He missed most of the first month of the season, and he hasn't been able to get consistent starts. And part of that is because Ben Bishop has played so well. And the other part is because Tampa put themselves into such a hole, they needed Ben Bishop to kind of ride him a little bit. But, you know, they've gotten him 3 starts here in the last couple of weeks. He's getting about 1 start a week. He's looked much more comfortable. Tonight, I think we saw that. He looks a lot more calm in his crease. And, you know, if they can get him going, if they can keep him at that level or close to that level, and you know what you're going to get out of Ben Bishop, you know, it's going to give them the opportunity to rest Bishop a little bit and get him ready for, you know, what should be a playoff appearance for this team.
The Steven Stamkos situation, was it a little quieter than normal? Do you think almost because the story got out that maybe it quieted down a few days earlier? Or what was it like?
It was quiet this morning because he didn't speak to the media. He wasn't around John Cooper. It was an optional state, so John Cooper came and talked to the media first. And, that probably allowed Steven a chance to kind of slip out the back door a little bit. So it was very quiet this morning. But even post-game, there were no questions about, the connections with Toronto or, anything like that. Everything asked of Steven after the game was about the game, was about Vasilevskiy, was about where the team was at. So I don't know if the fact that the reported offer got out, that's why it quieted down. But either way, it was a lot quieter than I thought it was going to be leading into the game for sure.
Is there any more updates on Jonathan Drouin? I mean, all of a sudden they send him down and he leaves and now all of a sudden they go on this nice run. Is it giving Steve Yzerman a little bit more time to select his buyers of who wants to maybe make a deal and be a dance partner with him? Or is this just a situation where they're just going to, for now it's not hurting anybody except Jonathan Drouin, and it's, basically leaving it in his camp to either come back and play in the minors or just sit there and, become a deteriorating asset? I mean, I'm sure that's not what he wants to see, but are you hearing of more dance partners that really would like to make a deal for Drouin?
Well, we all know there was a ton of interest. There were some teams probably kind of shied away a little bit, when the suspension came down. But with Steve Yzerman and having learned how he operates and how he works, he's not going to be rushed in anything. He's not going to be forced into anything. And, he holds the leverage here. As much as Jonathan Drouin would like a change of scenery, this is not going to fast track what he would like to have done. Steve can kind of sit back and wait for the right offer. If he feels it's not there, obviously with the way the team is performing right now, there's no rush to try and bring in somebody to help the team right now and use Jonathan Drouin as somebody to get that. And who knows? Certainly Jonathan Drouin is not helping his cause by not playing games. And in the team's case, they could keep him suspended for the rest of the year. And if that's the case, he actually tacked on an additional year before he could reach unrestricted free agency. And maybe this summer he actually becomes more of an asset that teams would like to get because they have longer control over his contract. So by sitting out, it might backfire in Jonathan Drouin's face, but it might actually aid Tampa's cause here if it reaches a summer without a resolution.
Tampa Bay Lightning are the defending Stanley Cup finalists, one of the elite NHL teams. Are they talent-wise now the best NHL team in the state of Florida or not?
Oh, that's a good question. I really like that Florida team. I think they have a really good mix of veteran players. They brought in the right kind of guys with Willie Mitchell and Jaromir Jagr, Sean Thornton, Roberto Luongo. Obviously, he's been a big boost to that team. And they have a very good young player. That Alexander Barkov is something else. I watched some of their games on TV. We obviously got a chance to watch him a couple times here in the last couple of weeks. Tremendous. I think they're a tremendous team. They are not a fluke. They're finally building things in the right direction. Aaron Ekblad has been a thorn in Tampa Bay's side this year. He's had a couple of last-minute goals to take victories away from Florida or from Tampa. Top to bottom, probably Tampa's the more talented team right now. But Florida is right there. They've got some good young players.
Eric, one last question for me, just from a Toronto Maple Leafs standpoint. You saw them tonight. You've seen their lineup. If you were the general manager of the Tampa Bay Lightning and you had to pick one guy out of that Toronto Maple Leafs roster right now to improve your team, which player would you grab?
Could they take Morgan Riley?
He's the only untouchable.
He's the only untouchable. That's tough. Joffrey Leupel's a pretty good veteran guy. If you're looking for a short-term fix. Other than that, I've always liked Jake Gardner. I remember watching him in his rookie year with the Leafs. I've always liked the way he played the game. Maybe he hasn't taken the steps forward that a lot of people like, but he's somebody that I've kind of watched every time I see the Leafs and kind of keep an eye on him.
Well, certainly appreciate it. Talking All-Star Game, the Tampa Bay Lightning, the Toronto Maple Leafs. Enjoy the break. We'll talk to you post-break, I guess, Eric. Always appreciate it.
Okay, no problem. Thanks for the time.
Eric Erlandson joining us, Tampa Tribune, as we talk about tonight's 1-0 win over the Tampa Bay Lightning.
It's interesting that he pointed out Joffrey Lupo. I mean, a veteran player and stuff, and I think that he would be a little bit more appetizing to a lot of teams if he didn't have that term left on his contract at what it pays. So, but it is interesting. There are going to be teams that find a guy like that that could be a valuable commodity to him in a playoff push, but just that term is what's going to hamper that deal.
Yeah, two more years at $5.25 million is going to make it difficult to cultivate, craft that kind of deal for a guy like Joffrey Lupo. When we come back, Terry Koshin will join us from the Toronto Sun. We'll hear from Mike Babcock, and we'll update the out-of-town scoreboard as well. Gord Stelic, Todd Alushko, you're listening to Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
As an unlicensed doctor, we suggest a prescription for one of our shows. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Fake doctor's orders. Sportsnet 590, The Fan on demand. It's your post-game workout. You're listening to Leafs Nation post-game on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Getting to it is Boyle. Kadri couldn't get to it. Bounces away. Out come the Leafs with 5 seconds left. Parenteau dropping it back. It'll be turned aside. A 1-0 victory for the Tampa Bay Lightning.
Well, Joe Bowen setting the pace with the energy. We continue it on Leafs Nation postgame, something our producer Matt Brown came in and said he appreciates. I hope you appreciate out there. Gord Stelic, Todd Alushko. Here we are, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers here on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. That was the only goal was a 1-0 goal by Steven Stamkos. That held up throughout the game. Tampa Bay Lightning 1-0 winners over the Toronto Maple Leafs. And that was the final call. And they've been mentioning as well, the Leafs were number one in the NHL, I believe it's 7 times with the goaltender pulled.
Mm-hmm.
They had scored a goal. Didn't happen tonight. They had some pretty good chances.
Oh, yeah, they had the pressure right now. I mean, Toronto, the offense was really was pushing for that goal, but they just couldn't produce it tonight. And they, it's, again, we talked about it all night long, is this team is working hard. They're playing extremely extremely hard as they can, but they just can't seem to find the back of the net right now. And if you're not getting that offense, and, you know, if you're not scoring any goals, you're not going to win any games, you're not getting any points. So, Toronto sits dead last in the NHL going into the All-Star break. So I don't know if this is what they thought Payne was going to be when it was brought up at the beginning of the season, but that's where we are right now.
Well, Terry Koshin, of course, covering the Maple Leafs and the National Hockey League for the Toronto Sun, Post Media, joining us. Hey, Terry, how you doing?
Papa, guys. How are you?
Well, we're just trying to define pain, like expected pain, what it is, and, slicing, dicing, and Todd did it rather well as an ex-player. You know, there were a lot of positives, like Mike Babcock said. Still, they're in a funk, and it ain't fun, and it's a lot like the first 10 games of the season.
Well, it's funny. I think it's the same record, isn't it?
Yeah,
funny.
Absolutely, yeah.
1-7-2, I guess the difference would be, obviously, that, in that month of October when they had the one win in 10 games, of course, they're trying to find themselves and more of a determining of what it was that Mike Babcock wanted them to do exactly. And you can't say the same, 3 months later now, 4 months later, whatever it is, here as January comes to a close. And a similar record and 11 goals, guys. And you know what? Yeah, they are coming out after all these games saying, we played hard, we competed, we rebounded after yet another terrible opening, which it was again tonight. And the results are the same. I mean, you're finding that a lot of these things aren't being fixed, and although the effort is there, perhaps they're not solvable for them. So it's they need to break, obviously. I mean, I guess every team does to different extents, that sort of thing. I think if you ask to have Tampa Bay Lightning on and keep playing, this team needs it, but quite frankly, guys, you start with 6-7 on the road when they get back, starting Tuesday night in Boston next week, and I'm not really sure how it gets much better than this. I mean, tell me if they're all going to come back and after they've been to Jamaica or Cuba or whatever it is they're going, and have found this touch again, hit the puck in the net. I mean, the goaltending is great. I mean, it's something I just wrote in the story that one thing that won't have bad thoughts lying awake staring at the ceiling over the weekend and visit the Sun in Boston is the goaltending. The Grinder's been great.
throughout the game last night in Florida. A lot of those goals were his fault. And then Bernier comes in and he does what he did tonight after not playing in nearly 2 weeks. So it's encouraging there. And, you always say you got to have goaltending to start. They're getting that, but they're not getting anything else.
Well, Terry, we were saying that. I mean, Toronto at the beginning of the year, it was, Bernie's letting in a bad goal. James Reimer's getting hurt. I mean, they seem to have solved the issue in the back end. And what seems to be biting them in the backside right now is the last couple of games has been the lack of discipline that the Leafs have been showing. And that seems to be a bit of a problem. And teams are scoring on the power play against them.
Yeah. Well, Todd, I mean, you throw the one out tonight to Roman Polak. I mean, that's, the guy's trying to make a defensive play, and he accidentally knocks the puck out of the air and over the glass, and it's a penalty in the NHL today. And I don't know if there couldn't have been less intense on his part.
Yeah, it's a terrible rule. I hate that rule. I hope they get rid of it.
Well, the problem with it, Todd, is then you're getting into proving intent and
sure,
all this other crap, and the referees have enough on their plate as it is.
Yeah.
But I mean, when it's so obvious to everyone in the rink, I think John Cooper would even tell you that clearly it wasn't intentional on the defenseman's part. But the fact is that then they have to come out and kill that, and they don't. And then they take a couple more at the end of the period, and those are put by the wayside for the most part because of what Bernier was doing. And the second one, I think, was to Jake Gardner, and Bernier made 3 or 4 huge saves of that. You think when you allow one power play goal, maybe your chances are pretty good at winning under normal circumstances, but these are not normal circumstances.
Terry Koshin joining us, covering the NHL and the Toronto Maple Leafs for the Toronto Sun. I don't know if you got a chance to chat about it with a lot of the media and that, but Alexander Ovechkin, the Capitals say, or he says, needs the rest, not going to go to the game, going to take the one-game suspension, and... I know it's an event that'll be great in Nashville in so many ways, but what's everyone's take about that?
Well, I just saw that, Gord, and it's a tough thing. I mean, he's a marquee player, and I realize, as everybody else does, where the Capitals are in the standings, and they want to see that through the rest of the season and everything, but perhaps that penalty for missing the game or skipping it deliberately, whatever you want to call it, has to be more severe than what it is. And it's a funny thing, though. I mean, I'm not going to put words in Leo Komarov's mouth, but I don't know. He isn't necessarily thrilled to be heading to Nashville tonight with his hockey bag slung over his shoulder and a bunch of sticks in his hand and for the All-Star weekend. I'm sure that, like a lot of other people, he'd like to get away for 3 or 4 days. I guess he's going to, I suppose, but he's going to be in Nashville playing hockey, not lying on a beach somewhere. It's a tough one for the league all the way around, right? Because 99.9% of the players do get this break, and in a lot of cases, the best ones who might need it the most don't. So and the other side of that coin too, of course, is you'd hope that they would do it. It's a big fan event, obviously, Nashville not being necessarily a hockey bed, I would imagine it's going to be a fun weekend there for everybody involved. But on the other hand, you can just see why these guys do want to get away from it all, even for 4 days. I mean, at least we'll be back in practice Monday afternoon at the Garden Center. So their case specifically, they're not going to have a lot of time away. A lot of them are going to go home tonight on the flight and turn around at Houston tomorrow and jet off to the Caribbean somewhere for 3 days. It's a tough one on Ovechkin. I mean, you want to see him there, obviously, but the league obviously doesn't have a full control over that.
Well, Gordon made a good point. It was more the timing more than anything, too, right? It would have like to do it the night before that everyone's taken off and doing their thing. But my question is this, could they avert something like this by doing something like what the NBA is doing right now and extending that break a little bit more so they have the All-Star game and the players still have maybe 2-3 days to participate in that All-Star game, but then they get 2 or 3 days off and stretch it out a little bit longer than it actually is right now?
Well, I guess it's a good pod, but I mean, the schedule being what it is now, I mean, it's we all know that teams get into situations where it seems like they're playing every other night, and you're still going into when does it end this year? April 7th, 9th, sometime in there. I mean, it's
still already into that second week of April now, and then you maybe add a bit more time to that, maybe 2 or 3 days would make a big difference. But perhaps it's something for the NHL to consider, because like I say, every player in that league, no matter what his role is on any team, should be able to participate in a break where they just get away from golf mentally and physically. But like I say, the best ones can't, which is kind of an odd thing in a sense, because they are probably the ones that need it more than anybody else.
Well, look, you going to the All-Star game, or you get a bit of a break?
I'm not. My good friend, the one, the only, Mike Seisberger, will be there for us. So I'm going to come home tomorrow and get one of the tickets.
Well, we'll warn the fine citizens.
And try to score some goals. Like, if I play road hockey with my kids, I'll see if I can score a couple of goals.
Okay. You may be able to rub off the Leafs, and we'll also warn the populace of Nashville that Mike Seisberger is coming to town. So we'll do a little bit
of that. I think we've just done that, Gord. It's a PSA for everybody out there in the social media and the radio world. Mike is coming.
Well, appreciate it. Like Alexander Ovechkin's not. Mike Seisberg will be. Terry, thanks very much.
Okay, thanks for having me, guys. We'll talk to you next week or thereafter, I'm sure.
Sounds good.
See you, buddy.
Terry Koshin joining us, of course, from the Toronto Sun. We're just looking. We're going to go over the out-of-town scores, which maybe we'll do now, about the play we just saw, Calgary and Nashville, Dennis Wideman.
Well, yeah, he gets kind of crunched into the boards and looks like he got a little bit of a hit from behind and starts going for a change on his bench, to his bench, and his head's kind of down, but then there's a linesman that's backing up towards him at the red line just in front of the Flames bench, and Wideman sees him, and it was kind of like he just said, get the hell out of my way. And he buries the linesman from behind. The linesman goes down. He's holding him. It looks like it was a terrible shot. Like, he would get 5 in a game if he did that to a player. But he did it to the linesman. I mean, that was so bizarre. And I'm sure we're going to hear a whole lot more about it as tomorrow comes on, because it was a vicious blow from behind.
Yeah, absolutely. Like an unusual play. He was pissed because he got hurt. And so was going back, wanted to get to the bench and the linesman. I think it was Don Henderson. But anyway, he was down. He appears to be okay right now, but was down for a bit. We will take a look now at the out-of-town scoreboard. And maybe we talk about the Toronto Maple Leafs. 1-0, they lose to the Tampa Bay Lightning. One other final. This was a big one involving the Washington Capitals and Philadelphia Flyers.
Yeah, that was a big one tonight. And in Washington, Philadelphia came out with a 2-0 lead to start out the game. Or Philadelphia did, and Washington battled back. But Philadelphia ended up winning 4-3 in overtime. Braden Schenn, Ryan White, Jacob Voracek, and then Jacob Voracek scored the overtime winner as well for Washington. It was Burkowski, Backstrom, and again, Burkowski had 2 goals. I'm sorry. So 4-3 overtime win for Philadelphia in Washington. That's a big win for them heading into the All-Star break.
Well, Nashville looking for another big win. They had a big win yesterday against, who did they have it against yesterday? Winnipeg Jets. Winnipeg Jets won yesterday. Sorry, Nashville. Nashville, who'd they play? Edmonton yesterday.
Yeah, sorry.
They beat Edmonton, so they get the Calgary duo. It is still in progress right now. 2-1, Nashville over Calgary in the third period of play. Just looking, Giordano scored for Calgary to cut the margin. Ribeiro and Shea Weber had given Nashville the lead.
And in the second period, Colorado's looking to try to squeak out a victory in Los Angeles, but right now Los Angeles is leading 2-1. Drew Doughty and Trevor Lewis have scored for the Kings. Matt Duchene replied in the second period with his 23rd goal of the season.
Wow.
So it's 2-1 LA over Colorado as in the second period.
Well, we always hear from the Toronto Maple Leaf head coach, of course, Mike Babcock, postgame. I heard from him a couple of an hours ago, or so it seemed like a couple of hours ago, after Leafs 1-0 loss to the Tampa Bay Lightning. Here it is one more time, a little postgame critique from everyone's favorite head coach, Mike Babcock.
First period when they're up 13-0 and shots and 17-0. Well, I think we took 3 penalties there, and they scored on their first one, and I thought it unnerved us a little bit, and then we're just battling, trying to stay alive. I thought we stayed alive and had some good kills to end off the period, and I thought we played better at the end of the period, and then I actually thought we played pretty well from that point on, and their goalie made saves, our goalie made saves, but we've talked about it quite a bit here of late. We didn't feel we started as good as we should have. We felt we were prepared tonight coming into the game. We had good energy, and then took the penalty, and, you know, a tough penalty right away, and he shot in the net, I don't know how many seconds later, and then we were a little bit unraveled.
The opportunity to score goals there, Mike, and you were at that point in December where they were going in. How do you get it back?
Yeah, well, that's a good question. You know, if I knew the answer, we'd have it back, obviously. So we'll enjoy the break here, and we'll come back and get energized and get back at her. But, you know, I thought we worked hard. I thought we competed hard. But in the end, you like to leave the building feeling good because you finished, and you know, we didn't do that.
Result aside, I guess you have to feel pretty good about the way Jonathan played tonight.
Well, I thought Bernie played good. I thought our team played good. You know, with the exception of the start there, I didn't like our first penalty kill. And then we didn't seem to have the confidence in the first, but I thought once we got through that, we did a pretty good job.
Scoring first is always so important in this league. Underscored in a 1-0 game, obviously. What do you do to try to just get those starts going?
Well, I mean, we've talked about it lots, and we'll continue to talk about it. I don't know if there's any magic formula. I don't think we're not energized or not focused or any of those things. It's just the reality is the way the game started with the penalty and then the goal. I thought we got, like I said, the nerve. So let's move on. Well, I would assume that, but, you know, I didn't think we played like a tight team in the second and third at all. I thought we had lots of plays. We made some plays. We had some chances. They didn't go in, but there's no sense feeling sorry for ourselves, no one else. But we got to find a way to get up.
Do you have a number in mind in terms of wins you're looking for the second half of the season?
You know, I just get ready for the first game just like I always do.
Mike Babcock, we didn't hear him say goodnight, everybody. Goodbye, everybody. Getting set, a little bit of a break. Looking forward to the All-Star break. Going to watch his son play. Is it Sun play?
In Boston, he's going, yep. Well, real quick, Gordon, I know we're almost up against the clock here. You know, the one thing the Leafs got to do is they got to make sure that they don't go too crazy over the All-Star break and come back and be re-energized a little bit, because as soon as they get back, they got Boston February 2nd, and they got New Jersey on the 4th, and then Toronto goes on a five-game road trip that takes them out to Ottawa, Calgary, Edmonton, Vancouver, and Chicago. So it doesn't get any easier after the All-Star break. So hopefully the guys get their rest and come back refreshed and recharged.
Well, you hope that's the case. And also we certainly hope Leo Komarov enjoys the All-Star experience. I would think he'd be a guy, as much as guys like to get the break, he'd have to be proud being named to the All-Star team, probably there to enjoy the festivities.
Well, you know he's going to enjoy it, but what's going on right now, he's seeing guys take off with their suitcases, and guys are heading out to the Bahamas or something. And, you know, at the time, you're sitting there, because I've been there. Well, I haven't actually gone to any All-Star games, but you sit there and you see other guys taking off, and he has to pack up his bag and take his sticks and go there. But I'll tell you what, when he finally arrives and gets there, I mean, it's going to be a party, and it's going to be something that he'll never forget. And I'm sure he would definitely exchange a Bahama trip to go to the All-Star game, which is maybe a once-in-a-lifetime, especially for Leo Komarov.
Yeah, he will, and certainly wish him all the best, the Lone Leaf representative. Of course, we'll have all the action for you on Sportsnet, covering it on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, as well. We will be back next week as the Toronto Maple Leafs finish a little bit of a mini break. Only four games going on tonight, so other teams, let's see, so that's eight teams. So 22 of the 30 teams had their break starting yesterday rather than today. 1-0 win for the Tampa Bay Lightning. A goal by Steven Stamkos early in the game held up for the only marker of that, a Toronto Maple Leaf defeat. You're listening to Leafs Nation Postgame with Gord Stellick, Todd Alusco, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Night, Babs.
See you guys.
Listening to Leafs Nation Postgame with Gord Stellick and Todd Halushko. Brought to you by your local GTA Acura retailers. Visit yours today.